and welcome to another telehealth podcast. I'm your host, Mike Patterson. Today we have Lauren Lashbrook with Innovatel. She's the Director of Strategic Partnerships, and welcome.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Glad to have you. So let's jump right in. Tell us a little bit about Innovatel. Tell us about how you became a part of Innovatel and what's going on.
I'd love to. Well, as you mentioned, I am the Director of Strategic Partnerships here at Innovatel Telepsychiatry. I have been on the Innovatel team for almost a year now. A year flew by. And prior to working for Innovatel, I actually worked for a telehealth platform over the last 3 years. So I've been in the telehealth space for almost 4 years now, and then previously worked in behavioral health in a various different roles of business development and sales and marketing. So this is my world. This is the world I happily live in and really am passionate about looking at ways to use technology to increase access to behavioral health treatment, because we know that the demand for services is growing rapidly every single day. And there are just, unfortunately, not enough clinicians to meet the demand for behavioral health services. And that's really what we focus on at Innovatel. So at Innovatel, we have a nationwide network of psychiatrists, psychiatric nurse practitioners, and we recently just added licensed clinical social workers to our team as well. So at a really high level, Mike, we recruit clinicians from all over the country. The geography does not matter to us. And then we partner with organizations that are looking to grow their treatment teams and do that virtually. There is unfortunately a psychiatric shortage, and I speak with organizations each and every single day that are desperately trying to recruit psychiatrists to join their team, and they either can't find them, have trouble recruiting them to their immediate geography. There's not enough coming out of medical school, Mike, not enough coming out of residency. And the data actually shows us that close to 60% of the active practicing psychiatrists right now in our country are 55 and older. So they're getting ready for retirement. So we've got a balance here that we're trying to navigate. And we found that utilizing technology to really maximize the actively licensed providers, regardless of their geography, can really be effective in helping people get treatment.
When was Innovatel founded? And how
Great question. Yeah, we are excited. We just celebrated our 5-year anniversary. So we're really proud of that. And there's been a lot of mergers and acquisitions going on in our space. So we're happy that we just celebrated our 5 years. To give you a little bit of background on our company, and I think something that makes Innovatel really unique is we are actually clinician owned and operated. So our founders have worked in behavioral health for, they don't like me to share this, but almost 35 years. They say they're well tenured and well experienced, and we are so lucky that we have that clinician leadership in place. So two of the founders of Innovatel, John Evans, our CEO, and Lee Penman, the Vice President of Clinical Operations, are two of our co-founders. They pooled their resources along with two of our head psychiatrists and some other investors 5 years ago to start Innovatel. And prior to the launch of Innovatel, John and Lee, two of the co-founders, actually ran a freestanding community mental health center in Northwest Pennsylvania. So they have not only worked clinically, but also in operations of running a freestanding mental health facility. And where they were located in Northwest Pennsylvania when they ran that organization, psychiatric recruitment and retention was a huge challenge for them. And so while they were running that clinic, it was about 10 years ago that they got a small SAMHSA grant for telepsychiatry. And they started using telepsychiatry in that way. And it worked really well. And John, our CEO, is fully transparent in sharing that 10 years ago, he thought, there is no way this is going to work. There is no way that this telepsychiatry thing is going to take off. And now fast forward to him running, you know, one of the fastest growing telepsychiatry companies in the country is really exciting to see. And 10 years ago, the technology was nowhere near as advanced as it was now. It's quite expensive to do a telepsychiatry program. You really did need a grant to get started. You needed Polycom systems and antiquated technology that really are no longer barriers. And so they ran a telepsychiatry program in their community mental health center, and quickly word spread how well it was working and how much it was taking off. And at the time, John Evans, our CEO, was the president of the Pennsylvania Providers Association, and he was getting a lot of inquiries from other groups in Pennsylvania to see if he could help them build telepsychiatry programs. And so organically, Innovatel was born, and 5 years ago, the need became so great that they decided to pool resources and start the company. And over the last 5 years, we've grown into now providing telepsychiatry services. The number's changing by the day, Mike, but I think we just moved into our 16th state of providing services.
Yeah, and it was kind of interesting to hear you speak about technology, because I've been in telehealth long enough. I remember, you know, grants were the only way you could really fund it. But the technology costs have come down, and it's easy. You don't need a whole support team to work the technology. Now, having said that, you're a provider-based company with your leadership. So your leadership is providers. You're not a technology company, but you utilize technology.
Absolutely. And
do you have a single source for that technology, or do you do multiple, or can I bring my own device? Or how do you do that?
Any and all of the above, Mike. So you got to hit the nail on the head. We are a technology company, but we're really a provider company that's delivering services through technology. So we are platform agnostic. So we do have a preferred platform that we use. But as you know, there's a tremendous amount of wonderful platforms out there. And what our goal is to really create the best workflows with the organization that we're working with. So they may use Epic as their EMR, and there are some platforms that are already embedded into Epic, and that works really well with their workflows. So then our providers will work in that. So our job is to really mirror the needs of the organizations that we work with, because we're really going for an integrated workflow. So we don't want our partners to have to be working in multiple systems. So we will do what's best for them based on the platform that will really meet the needs that they're looking for.
And so to be clear, you mentioned Epic. Mm-hmm. And so you work with the organization to integrate the product, if need be, into the EHR or whatever.
Yeah. So some of those EMRs will already have video platforms integrated into their system. So that's one workflow. The way our providers work is when we contract with an organization to provide telepsychiatry services, our providers are remote, of course, but they will have remote access to their EMR. So they'll actually document directly in the electronic medical record of the facility that we partner with. And then the platform is solely the ways of delivering that service. So it really, those workflows can vary, but we'll always be working in our client's electronic medical record, so they're not worried about having to transfer documentation from one system to another. So our goal really is that our clinic partners feel like they have a provider that's just as integrated in their workflows as if they were physically there on site. The only difference should be and feel is that they're connecting remotely through technology.
Using platform, what is your company's policy on security? How do you address that when you're, you know, that may just be a document between yourself and the...
Well, it's a document, and Mike and I will, our director of IT would probably not want me to speak on this topic because that's his world. But we do, of course, have really advanced security measures that most of the clinics that we've partnered with, if they aren't using the platform we recommend, it's one of the big ones we're familiar with. And in the off chance it's one we haven't heard of, they would definitely go through an IT audit with our director of IT to ensure that we're meeting all of the quality standards for HIPAA and high tech, because we would never want to sacrifice the quality and the integrity of our programs that are being delivered through those services. And we are also actively going through the new accreditation through the American Telemedicine Association, through the Clear Health Quality Institute. So we have very high standards there, and we're really excited that the CHQI has developed, because as you know, working in this space for so long, there's been a little bit of ambiguity as to what the requirements are to deliver telehealth services. So I think having CHQI in place and having organizations that submit all of their technology and how they're delivering services through that will really help streamline and making sure that all of the platforms are meeting at least the minimum requirements. Our goal is to exceed, because I just don't think there's anything more important than maintaining that security.
And while we're asking questions that comes to everyone's mind, you're dealing with providers across the nation.
Yes.
And without putting you on the spot too much, so how are you dealing with credentialing and
what a great question.
Licensure and
yeah. So as you know, Mike, you know, operating a nationwide telehealth company is one of the biggest challenges is navigating the different regulatory environments in every state. And most of us in the telehealth world say that, you know, operating in multiple states and nationwide is like operating in 50 different countries. There are no two states that are alike when it comes to licensing or even just regulations and reimbursement for telehealth services. So at a very high level, without getting into the weeds, because there could be a whole podcast about licensing, sure, credentialing, reimbursement, and regulatory environment. Our providers are licensed in the state where they are physically located, and we also cover the cost to get them licensed in the state where they are delivering services. So if I have a clinic partner in Virginia and my provider happens to be located in Florida, that provider will have active licenses in Florida and Virginia, and we cover the cost of that licensing. Our model is that when a provider begins to do work with a clinic partner, they then become credentialed with that clinic's payers. So our team, our credentialing team, will work side by side with that organization to get that provider credentialed on all of their plans. And that timeline can vary state to state and even plan to plan. In some states, Medicaid plans are quite quick. Some states, commercial plans take longer. So that really can vary, but we are working within the regulatory confines of each state. Our compliance officer is a physician and an attorney, so she does deep dives anytime we move into a new state on really what the state of telehealth is in those states. And as you know, it's also constantly evolving. We've seen great strides in reimbursement and lifting certain restrictions, like geographic restrictions that were in place in some states for Medicaid, but we still have some work to do. So I'm hopeful and encouraged by the strides we've taken, but we still have a lot of work to do. In my dream world, Mike, you know, in 5 years, we'll be talking about licensing that could be national. I mean, if we have only 8,000 psychiatrists, only 8,000 licensed child and adolescent psychiatrists, the last data I saw from ACAP, only 8,000. How can we take those 8,000 and really maximize their efficiency to reach children all over the country? In my telehealth dreams, we'll see that. I don't know the day that will come, but you know, certainly that's something that would really, when we just talk about what could be done to focus on access, that's one of the things that would be really incredible to see.
Yeah. Thank you. I share your telehealth dreams. And it seems like every year I go, this is the year.
It is
moving faster than it was. It so that's the good news. And I'm optimistic.
For sure.
I'm going to try to combine a question. What about pricing and tech support?
Great
question. Do you do various levels of that? And, you know, if I'm a provider group that doesn't have IT, will you help me with that?
Absolutely.
If it's after hours, do you have like a good, better, and best scale for?
Yeah, we do. So when we partner with an organization, let's say, Mike, that you are a clinical director at a local community mental health center in Virginia, for example, and you've been trying to recruit a psychiatrist for 3 months and it's just been a real struggle, and we get in contact somehow, and our goal is then to learn as much about your clinical needs as possible. So I think something unique to our partnership is I wouldn't say, okay, Mike, I've got 4 Virginia licensed psychiatrists, here you go. Our job is to get to know your organization, what you're looking for, and find the best clinical match, because we're really looking for long-term partnerships. And your team would actually get to interview that provider. So you could get on screen on a video interview, just like they'd be delivering services, because we want you to see how comfortable they are engaging through this technology. Your team gets to interview them. Once you pick your provider, we go through the licensing and credentialing, EMR training, just like an onboarding for an on-site physician. The way our business model works is we contract for a set amount of hours per week. So if you said, okay, Lauren, I need a full-time psychiatrist, 40 hours a week, we would find a psychiatrist that meets that need. If you said, you know, I really need somebody on Mondays and Fridays during these times, they would hold a set schedule for you during those times. So we're flexible based on the needs of the groups that we work with, which can also be really helpful from a retention standpoint, Because not only is recruiting psychiatrists challenging, but recruiting psychiatrists to specific hours is even more challenging. And that's something we can help groups with. Our business model is an hourly rate for that clinician's time. And it can vary based on the type of provider, whether we're looking at a psychiatric nurse practitioner, board certified child and adolescent psychiatrist, or a therapist. So there's ranges that we can share with groups based on the need. But that hourly rate that we charge, Mike, we cover their DEA, their licensing, their malpractice, and all of their benefits. And with that comes unlimited clinical support from our clinical operations team and IT support. So let's say you've got limited resources at a facility that you're working. Not many community mental health centers have a full-blown IT department. So being able to provide our IT support to give detailed recommendations on how to set up a telepsychiatry room, do test visits, have 24/7 access to our IT team. If something goes haywire, you know, we all like to predict that nothing's going to happen with technology, but it's technology and questions come up. So we do provide unlimited technical support at no charge to all of the clinic partners that we work with.
So I could be a small provider, or I have a small clinic and I need a psychiatrist for a few hours a week. You can handle that. How can you scale up, or you know, what size organization could you handle?
We actually work with everything from smaller provider groups, smaller counseling groups, all the way up to health systems and everything in between. So we don't do any locums short-term work, Mike. It's kind of getting into recruiting a different type of clinician. So most of our groups, we have a 2-day-a-week minimum in an outpatient setting to provide coverage. And what we found in an outpatient setting is really you've got to have enough time for those patients to be seen for initial evaluations and get them back in an appropriate subsequent follow-up meeting. So we typically don't do anything below 2 days a week of coverage, but we work in some health systems where we have multiple clinicians providing coverage. So really our goal is to meet the needs of the groups that we work for, small, medium, or large. I would say the majority right now of our clinic partners are medium to large community mental health centers. And I think a big part of that is we are the strategic partner for the National Council for Behavioral Health. And many of their members are small, medium, and large community mental health centers. And I also think in the community mental health center space, because the populations are very heavily weighted towards Medicaid, they are some of the centers that are facing the most challenges when it comes to reimbursement and also recruitment. Many of these clinics are located in rural or frontier areas where recruitment can be a significant challenge. But I think geography, Mike, is becoming less and less important. You know, I live in Orlando, Florida. You know, this is not a rural area, but there are wait times in my community to see a psychiatrist of 3 to 6 months. So geography, I think, is becoming less and less of a factor, and access, the acceptance of insurance or certain insurances to see a provider, and just looking at how we can leverage the workforce that we currently have with psychiatrists and make them more efficient. So that clinical setting can vary. It's just really based on where the clinical demand is. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I mean, and I'm coming up with 1,000 others, but but no, as I understand it, the workflows and processes would be seamless once you're set up, once everything, you know, everyone's in agreement and everyone's been trained and kind of mesh or melt into existing workflows.
That's the goal. And that's why we don't typically do separate platforms, separate EMRs, separate electronic prescribing systems. We want it to feel like you have hired someone on site, but we just took away all those headaches of recruitment, retention, interviewing. You know, we find the best clinicians, bring them to you and say, okay, I like melt that you said, melt into your workflows and really make it feel like there's no difference. Even to the point, Mike, of if I was a psychiatrist working in your fictitious Virginia clinic that we just made up, and let's say my office hours, if you will, and I used air quotes and realized this podcast is audio only, so virtual office hours. And let's say there was a change in the schedule. So 11 o'clock patient is running 15 minutes late. Our psychiatrist stays on screen that entire time. So if there's a social worker down the hall that they have a shared client and they want to talk, or one of the other psychiatrists in the building wanted to collaborate on a patient, we really encourage that collaboration, even though the provider's remote, because they're dedicated to our clinic partners during that time. So they can even attend treatment team meetings in the morning through video conferencing. So the goal is that we call it our virtual open door policy. So just because they're on screen, we want the other staff to feel like they can walk on in and chat with the psychiatrist just like they would if that provider was physically there on site. So exactly to your point, the goal is to just melt into those workflows, but take away the headaches of having to find a psychiatrist.
You know, shooting from the cuff, where do you see telehealth going, especially your piece of it in the next 5 years?
I think we're going to see some huge strides. So I think a lot of the technology, like you mentioned, is there. We no longer have technology barriers. Even 5 years ago, technology was still a barrier with some areas that may not have the best bandwidth or capacity to connect, and we're seeing less and less of that. So I feel good about where we're going with technology, right? We can get anything we need pretty much with a webcam and a fairly strong internet connection. So I'm not worried about technology, and I think technology will be even better. I think my biggest hope is that we continue to see the regulatory environments improve so that access is no longer limited by some of the antiquated regulatory environments. And one of those being, which is really timely coming up with October, is the Federal Ryan Haidt Act. That's something that's limited the prescribing of controlled substances, and the act was put in place with the best intention, which was to reduce diversion with prescription drugs online. And Novotel is so passionate about that. And I think there really needs to be a difference between really good quality delivered telemedicine and some of the online pharmacies that have gone a little bit rogue. And there's really a big difference. So I think to see the federal regulations really catch up with technology, with companies that are doing it in the right measured way that's clinically safe and sound and really exceeding the standards of care, is going to be an important factor. So when those regulatory environments can catch up, we'll see progress there. And we're already seeing progress there with some states allowing things and opening up some restrictions. But also I think looking at, while technology has improved, there's one piece of technology, Mike, that I'd like to see be even stronger that would allow us to do direct-to-consumer treatment safely. Because my dream is that a patient, no matter where they're located, can receive psychiatric services where and when they need them. Because I know, you know, every family in America, I believe, has been touched by this to a certain extent, is that when someone picks up the phone, when someone picks up that phone to make that very important call to say, okay, I need help, or someone I know and love needs help, you do not have anything more than 5 minutes to wait to get them into treatment. And so I would love to see the regulatory environment help us do that better, and also see technology help us do this better. The platforms are there. What we're really missing in psychiatry is a way to capture vitals easily and safely and affordably in the home, because with a lot of the psychotropic medications that are prescribed, that needs to be monitored very, very closely. And I've seen some really cool devices at the American Telemedicine Association and HIMSS, and they're out there, but they're not necessarily yet affordable for the consumer. And so really excited to see some progress there, because the future of telehealth is treating patients wherever they are, but doing it safely is really our key piece and how we can do that and deliver services in that manner.
What can we expect out of a Novotel in the next 5 years? Is there something that you can tell us or not tell us? Or
well, without revealing all of our, you know, future visionary secrets, I mean, we really would love to be the thought leader of telepsychiatry and a company that's really leading the way with doing the most innovative treatments, but never sacrificing clinical care or quality. That's our utmost priority. And we've got some big plans, some that will be announced, you know, over the next few months and over the next few years. And again, it's going to be with the focus that our founders brought from the not-for-profit space, was to increase access to timely care. That drives every business decision that we make. So evaluating new technologies, significantly growing our treatment team, and then going outside of our traditional clinic partners as well. We are really passionate about integrating into the primary care space and the pediatric space. So not just going to behavioral health specific entities, there are high volumes of patients presenting in primary care offices that are asking their primary care providers to provide psychiatric treatment because they can't get into a psychiatrist. So how can we partner with those providers? How can we give pediatricians a psychiatrist support system to help them with more complicated pediatric cases? So really, I think the possibilities are endless, and without revealing too many of our company secrets, we really want to be on the forefront of just delivering care wherever patients are and getting them care in the most timely manner.
I'm assuming when you mention pediatric, you're also talking about getting into the school systems.
And oh, yes.
You know, don't know if you guys are doing anything in that area.
We are starting to have some conversations there, Mike. I think, again, reaching patients where they are, right? If there are children in schools where they have to miss school to leave, parents have to take time off of work to go and travel and sit in a doctor's office where we could simply beam psychiatry time into schools, that's a huge, huge vision. And there are some school systems that have done that really well. Unfortunately, there are still a number of Medicaid restrictions in place that prevent that in many states from happening. So again, not to sound like a broken record, but having some of those regulatory environments improve would be really helpful. And also many of the schools are looking at funding streams to do that as well, and seen a lot of grants for that over the last few years. So again, whether it's school setting, whether it's a college, whether elementary school, college, anywhere that people are needing services, which is anywhere, right? We know that, we know the demand for services is only growing. We'd like to figure out a way to meet those patients wherever they are.
Thank you. And no, it doesn't sound like a broken record. In many areas of telehealth, we've been kind of stuck on the scratch for a number of years. But if it's mentioned often enough, and hopefully
and we're seeing progress. You know, we're seeing progress. I speak about Florida a lot because I'm based here. And so I've seen changes happen. But a few years ago in Florida, you know, Medicaid recipients could not receive telehealth services in the home. There was an originating site rule. And a few years ago that changed and it really opened up access. And we know that transportation is a massive barrier, especially in the Medicaid population. So we're starting to see these changes come about slowly but surely. And then there's really forward-thinking groups that are also developing case studies and showing data. And that's something else that we're doing as a company as well, because anecdotally, we know this works. We hear the success stories every day, but we also, as an industry, need to do a better job of capturing that data and showing the outcomes and showing how well this technology can make a significant impact. Because not only is it increasing access, but it's a cost savings for the payers as well. Because if we can get these patients into treatment in the appropriate setting, which is often in the outpatient setting, that really avoids unnecessary trips to the emergency department. And it's just, it's a cycle, right? And so it all goes back to access. And so if we can reach patients in a timely manner, that affects the whole trajectory of their treatment and also the patient's likelihood of getting better sooner.
Not to mention the cost to the caregivers and family members that you can't really account for. But Lauren, I've thoroughly enjoyed this. If there's one last tidbit you want to throw at us, do it. Please do it.
Well, you know, Mike, I wouldn't be a good person at my job if I didn't make one plug to say that, you know, we've got a phenomenal network of clinicians located across the country. We've had tremendous recruitment efforts over the last few months. So if there are any organizations that are looking for additional psychiatric services, that's something that we do each and every day. And so regardless of the need, you know, you can check out our website, inovatel.com. Would love to get more connected in the Mid-Atlantic region. We are based in Pennsylvania. So it's just been a pleasure to get to speak with you, Mike, and address the audience. And we'd love to continue conversations and are really excited about the future of telehealth.
Great. Thanks so much, Lauren. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. And let's talk again soon.
Great. Thanks, Mike.